We're back under the final segment on this Saturday morning of the Home Improvement Show of the Midlands. Hey, stand by when we're done here. I'm with you for another hour with the Health and Wellness Show. We'll get that cranked up after Fox News at the top of the hour. So that's still to come this morning. But we wind down the Home Improvement Show this morning with Michael Nicholson, the co-owner of the Moving Squad, who joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good moving. Good morning.
Yeah, yeah. Go. You know, it makes no sense to me at all, Mr. Nicholson, that every time you and I talk before airtime, you're telling me you just got another call from somebody who got stood up by a mover. This is a daily thing that you get calls every day from people who just their mover doesn't show up.
Yes. Just at least four out of the 5 days, Monday through Friday, and usually I get two or three on Saturday. I don't know.
Has this always been an issue?
It hasn't been.
What would you attribute it to then? Now, anything?
Some people are getting desperate these days. You know, catalytic converters are getting stolen off fleets. People think that anything they can try to do, you know, to earn a buck, steal a buck, whatever you're trying to do, you know, you got to be careful. I mean, we've tightened up stuff on our yard. I've got new cameras in, got new night vision stuff. We got new key boxes, just making sure, you know, taking those extra steps to protect everything. You know, even in my own neighborhood, there's been a couple little things, so.
So maybe this is not you know, unscrupulous movers are trying to stand somebody up here or whatever, or take the next best thing because somebody called in and got a more lucrative job for them. But some of these guys are literally through no fault of their own, just unable to.
They're not licensed movers. There's somebody running grab a U-Haul or pickup truck or trailer and trying to run around.
And so I know we talk about this a lot, but I want to be sure that anyone listening this morning that's planning a move doesn't get caught up in this, because you think about how inconvenient and problematic it is if you've just sold a home, you've just closed on it, you got to get your stuff out because the other people want to come in the next day, or maybe even later on this day.
And once those papers are signed, they want in.
And it's their house. Mm-hmm. And now you're sitting there, you know, scrambling at the last second. What am I going to do? Now, again, you know, hopefully you're in a situation where, you know, the people coming in are saying, oh, yeah, I get it. But guess what? You know, they got movers lined up, too, to get their stuff in. They got a house they're trying to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but this comes up every time we talk.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can tell you a few weeks ago I had one. I got a call from a realtor, and the mover that his client had set up called 2 days before and just said, look, this is too big. We can't do it. It was a 6,000 square foot house. And
why didn't they know that when they first booked the job?
I have no idea. They were looking at getting that deposit and running. Who knows? But
let me stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
You put a deposit down with a mover and they stiff you, they stand you up.
Well, if they're an illegal mover, all you have is small claims court.
Okay. If they're licensed by the state of South Carolina mover,
then you've got the ORS, which will do everything for you.
Get them. Okay. All right.
Now, if they're unlicensed movers, the ORS will still attempt, but they're limited on exactly what they can do to the company.
Okay.
You know, the ORS, if I did something like that, they'd take my license.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm asking here is somebody in your business who has seen this happen way too many times, pretty much on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
What are the consumer here, and you're looking to book a moving company? I mean, what are the sorts of things that you can do when you pick one to try your best to ensure this one? I get it. Anything can happen. You know, mm-hmm. Things happen. I get it. But to try to minimize the risk of this happening to you.
The biggest thing is really the due diligence. You know, always get three estimates. We honestly should all be pretty close to each other. If you've got an outlier, there's a reason there's an outlier. You know, check us out. Look at our reviews. Go on the Better Business Bureau. Go to the Office of Regulatory Staff's website. Look us up. Make sure they're a licensed mover. You know, because you have, you know, your items are protected, you know. If you ask for the insurance form, do they provide it, you know, quickly and willingly? Just everything should be a professional setup, not, hey, when we get off the phone, send me a text message with your information. You know, I mean, I have all the forms. You know, if somebody comes up to do your move and they don't have a form, because I remembered this. On the bill of lading, there is an insurance line that must be signed before one piece of furniture is touched in your house. If that line is not signed before furniture is touched, and the ORS catches us, that is an extremely hefty fine. And it has to do with insurance replacement, the 60 cents line per pound. But that line has to be signed before any piece of furniture is touched in the house.
And again, that's to protect the consumer, knowing that this mover has insurance and they are legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
So if a mover shows up to move you and they produce no paperwork at all, you should stop the process right then and there, I'm guessing.
Yes. It's a certain throw up a red flag. You know, I understand if something was added at the last minute. You know, if I have a crew on one side of town, I'm like, look, I'm headed towards you with the bill of lading. Go over there and meet the customer, do the walkthrough, and wait for me to get there with the bill. You know, that's one thing. But to do your entire move or to touch furniture without you signing something, that should be a huge red flag right there of, hold on, wait a second. You know, who am I dealing with? You know, are these people reputable? You know, what is the recourse if something's damaged? I mean, those are conversations that all be had before you book with me.
Yeah, I mean, and I was going to ask you that question. In your conversations with a potential mover you want to hire, are there definitely certain questions you should ask each and every one of them each and every time?
Yes. You know, the first one, you know, are they licensed? What is their license number? Because with that number, it's even quicker to look us up on the ORS website. Mm-hmm. But
so what's your license number?
9859.
Oh, that's yours. Yeah, and if somebody balks at that over the phone, hang up, I'm guessing.
Yes. Okay. You're talking to somebody who doesn't know what they're doing.
So you didn't have to ask the question, do you have a license? You just say, hey, what's your license number?
Yeah.
And if you want to get an
9859.
There you go. The moving squad.
Yes.
If you don't get an immediate response, just like that,
mm-hmm.
with a license number, hang up the phone.
Yes, and you know, when we come on our trucks, our license numbers have to be on the outside of the trucks.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The letters have to be a minimum of 2 inches. They can't be smaller than 2 inches. And they have to be at the front of the box or on the door. Mm-hmm. And they have to be on both sides.
No, just as an aside here, because I know there are times when you get so busy, you've got to actually go out and rent trucks to mm-hmm. to help meet the demand now, I guess, in that situation.
I still have a magnet I put on the door.
Okay, so... You are required, regardless of what vehicle you're driving as a licensed mover, to have that somewhere on that vehicle.
If you're doing a regulated move, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So what's your license number?
9859.
There you go. What's next?
Recourse. If there's a damage, you know, what is the process? What do you do? Is there a form that you're supposed to fill out? Are you supposed to, you know, document with pictures? Document with the email? What is the process? And then also, you know, what insurances do you cover?
Explain that, because you just said that there's 60 cents on the pound. Dollar on the pound. That's the state.
That is the state minimum. You know, do they carry more? When they carry more, does it cost you more? You know, we do fair market value loss, fair market value at time of loss is what we do. And there's a third party that comes in and comes up with that number. Not my insurance company, not us. They're the ones that give us that number.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood. I've never had a loss. You know, you might have a little rub or something like that, but I'll tell you, any good moving company has an exceptional wood guy, and I have one. You know, and he'll come in and fix whatever needs to be happening if a little rub happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things should be just a norm. It happens. You know, moving is an imperfect science, and no matter all the planning and all the wrapping and all the what you want to do, things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, hands get slippery, hands get sweaty. You got a crazy access on a turn somewhere. You know, things happen, but you got to be there to make the customer whole at the end of the day. And so just knowing those answers ahead of time, what is the process? What do you do? You know, what is required of you? Is there a time window? You know, the generic time frame for most insurance companies is anywhere between 72 and 96 hours that you have to report a claim.
Okay.
I always say before the move happens, walk around with your camera phone and video all of your stuff.
Sure.
You know, from several different angles, because there could be a rub there that you didn't see that was there before the movers touched it also.
Yeah. So ask for the license number.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? You didn't hit me with
it. 9859. Sorry, I was taking a sip of water.
Ask for the license number. Ask if something happens and something is damaged. Mm-hmm. What's the process? Yeah, how do we go about it? So those are the big two to ask right there. Anybody you talk to when you're looking for a quote. Anything else?
Just make sure you have a professional atmosphere. Okay. You know, shouldn't be kids crying in the background. There shouldn't be noise crying. You know, if I'm on a job site and have to answer the phone, you know, I run off to the side. If I can't do that, I let my voicemail get it, and then I'll get right back to you.
Okay.
But, you know, they should give you a warm, fuzzy feeling. And if you don't get that, then...
Just go with your gut on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, go with your gut.
Go with the vibe. Go with the vibe. Okay, good. And you guys also do, and apparently you're doing more and more of this these days, is labor-only moves, which we've talked about.
Yeah,
before.
We're doing a lot of labor-only, you know, people coming in-state, going out-of-state. Also, there's a few days in between their closings. Mm-hmm. So instead of having me store the items, they want to store them on a rental truck.
Okay, so they're renting your guys' time.
Yes, sir.
To come mm-hmm. out there. You supply, as the consumer, you supply the rental truck.
Yes, the customer does.
It's your mm-hmm. truck, right? Your guys just come out. They'll load it up for you.
Yes.
You drive it to the destination.
The customer drives it to the destination.
Right.
I can't drive it. Not you, the customer.
And then your guys meet them there and unload it mm-hmm. and put it up.
Yeah. With labor only, that just means my guys and dollies. One thing mm-hmm. a lot of customers forget on that is they are responsible for the padding and cargo control. So it'd be ratchet straps, bungee cords that we need to secure their load. But with a lot of rental truck companies, you can rent pads with them.
Sure. Yeah.
So, or keep some old blankets, old comforters out. Count your wood, double the number, and that's how many pads you need.
Okay. Now, how does insurance work on a labor-only move?
Once the door closes, my insurance stops.
Okay. So, anything that happens between the time your guys first lay hands on an item and the time the door closes on the truck, then you guys cover that.
Yes.
Whatever happens between the time the door closes and the door reopens.
I mean... I'm not in control of the item. I'm not in the chain of custody. I'm not the one, you know, my trained drivers aren't the ones driving it, especially with these beautiful potholes we have,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the railroad crossings. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain things, you know, taking curves. You know, there's ways to drive a loaded truck which help minimize anything like that.
So is there any insurance in place then for the homeowner while their stuff is in transit in that situation?
With homeowners, almost all the time, the homeowner's insurance extends that way. Also, with a lot of the rental trucks, you can purchase additional insurance as well with that.
Yeah.
So just whatever works best for your situation.
You guys get a chance to take any time off? I mean, as we're approaching
Usually we slow down. You know, usually we'll drop to about 50 or 60 moves a week. I mean, we're still up above 100. So we haven't seen a slowdown yet, and it's kind of getting to the point we're going to have a controlled slowdown. You know, just let the guys relax. We got, you know, with the holidays coming up, with just kind of recharging with family, you know, reconnecting with people we haven't spoken with in a while.
Boy, is that more important than ever this year?
It is. You know, a helpful call, you know, a FaceTime if you can't get to someone, just that smiling face, extending those hugs. I mean, I'm going through a challenge of myself with my grandmother and, you know, all the days that you chose to work versus going to.
Yeah. Oh, I've been there. I know.
You know, so.
I know, man. I know. It's, we've all been there.
You know, just to make sure not let work dictate the, make sure the people that you love know it.
Yeah, I used to say to folks that work for me in this business, because, you know, we're in kind of one of those businesses, too, where the show must go on and all that, right?
Yes.
But, you know, I used to tell people all the time, life gets in the way. And it should. Hopefully if you're still working these days, and hopefully you got a boss, if you're not the boss, who understands that. If you are the boss, you understand it too. Because life does get in the way sometimes, and it should.
Mm-hmm.
Especially this time of the year.
Yeah, you know, just make sure you pass all the hugs you can, of course, with the distancing, PPE and all that stuff, you know. But, I mean, there's many things you can do. They have the air scrubbers you can put in your house. I wear a lanyard around my neck from Larry.
Yeah,
you know.
Classic systems, yeah. Yeah, we were talking to Larry earlier, yeah.
But, you know, so, I mean, there's lots of things you can do to, you know, still be able to, you know, contact. You know, it's just it's so valuable. And, you know, it can warm your heart. It can warm your soul. And need to make sure to use this time. You know, if we are on a slowdown, great. Use that time to reconnect. Make sure that, you know, you get as much positivity around you as you can.
All right, buddy. Well, I guess I won't see you again until after Christmas. So Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you. Merry Christmas as well.
We'll reconvene with you, I guess, the Saturday after Christmas, next time you're here with us. It's the Moving Squad. How can folks get a hold of you, Michael?
9859-ORS. I got backwards there for a second. Sorry, I was trying to read something that just popped up. But 803-915-SQUAD. That's 915-7782. The website, Moving Squad SC for South Carolina. And as always, ORS PSC is 9859.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon, man.
Thank you, sir. God bless.